Welcome, Dr. James Beckett, Sports Card Insights. Outtake episode, Ray Fonio, Ray from Philly, does the Baseball Card Hall of Fame. It's that time again. I'll put a link in my notes. Thanks sponsors, Topps Panini, Upper Deck Heritage Auctions, Huggins Scott Auctions, Mike Stadium Sports Cards, Burbank Sports Cards, CompC.com, and Beckett Media, Beckett Grading, Beckett Authentication. This is an abridgment of my longer conversation with Ray on his channel, but it indicates what I picked. And I've never made a promise. I've never made a vow that I would stay under 15 minutes. This is one of the rare examples where it just didn't make much sense to chop it into two. It's about 20 minutes out of perhaps an hour I spent with Ray, which was very enjoyable. I really encourage you to vote. So anyway, here it is. And thanks, Ray.
We're going to start with the first card, the new card on the ballot, the 1887 N172 Old Judge Kid Nichols card.
When I think of Old Judge, I think of Cap Anson, perhaps. So Kid Nichols, I'd make him wait.
Next up, first year for this card, a 1909-11 T206 Walter Johnson portrait.
It looks fabulous. I'm actually voting for the Ramley of Johnson. Because okay. The Ramley Johnson is the key card in a beautiful landmark iconic set. If I'm going to pick one Walter Johnson, and there needs to be at least one, I'm all over the Ramley. That's okay. For sure on my belt.
Next, the 1909 Philadelphia Caramel E95 Honus Wagner. It's his second year on the ballot. Finished just outside the top 10 last year.
If you look at Rick Probstein's videos to promote his business, the headline from the day before was 1909 Wagner. Tried to evoke that it was a T206s, but it really was some other caramel card. So when I think of a Wagner from 1909, Ray, sorry, I'm not thinking of Philadelphia Caramel E95. Still a great card. And if somebody was going to have more than one card, people don't realize what a great player he was.
Next, the second year on the ballot, the 1909-11 T206 Cleveland Glove Shows Cy Young. He has no cards yet in the Hall of Fame.
I did not vote for this just because, again, it's T206 and it's not one of the top five cards in the set, but it's a great card and Cy Young deserves to be in there.
There's three T206s in there now. Of course, the Wagner, the Plank, and the Redback Cobb. We still have a decent amount in there. Let's move on. I actually love this card. Another T206, Tris Speaker. Love the blue background.
Yeah, I love it too, but it's just too much T206. Again, Speaker deserves to be in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame. He's not a minor Hall of Famer. He's a major Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And this might be a chance to bring in some kind of an e-card. That's what I'd look at there.
Okay. Next up, shocker, another T206. First year on the ballot, the Sherry Maggie error, not McGee, the Maggie error card.
It's the first corrected error. There's been errors on cards forever, but correcting an error is a headache. If you were looking through a stack of T206s, this would be one you definitely would be looking for. Now, again, if you're not an advanced collector, you might see the card that isn't misspelled and think, oh, I got a gold mine here, which you don't.
First year on this one, Christy Mathewson is in the Hall of Fame with the T205, but this is the 1914 Cracker Jack.
I voted for it. And the 14s are way tougher than the 15 Cracker Jacks. And I've never seen a Mathewson that nice showing on the screen because they're usually not in great shape. But that's a fabulous card. And I'm willing to yield on the horizontal nature of it. It's one of the cards that was on the advanced collectors want lists frequently from back 50 years ago.
I was told this could be Christy Mathewson's most valuable card.
Is it that? Could well be, yeah. Okay. Especially if it was in great shape, yeah.
1925 exhibit, Lou Gehrig, his second year on the ballot.
I'm sure I voted for it last time, and I'm not going to be a cheerleader for the card because it is an exhibit, and so it's oversized, but it's become more and more recognized as his quote-unquote
rookie card.
I actually have this card. I got it graded, and one little-known fact, I have my main card wall that's 2.5 by 3.5, and then I have a secondary card wall as you go back further into my card room. And it has postcard size, slightly larger slabs on a couple of panels of, say, the top 100. And this is just a killer card. If you were going to get one Gehrig card, what would it be? I think this is it. Even though the Gaudis are great, this is, to me, the iconic Gehrig card.
Right. First year on the ballot. 1932 U.S. Caramel Rogers Hornsby. I looked at the Hall of Fame, and he doesn't have anything representing him. And I was really trying to look for a Hornsby card. And is this one to pick for Hornsby?
It's got to be one of his best cards. Okay. It's a fabulous set. He's worthy. He should be in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame. I don't think many people are going to vote for it because I rarely see it. There may be one or two somewhere at the National, but I'm not sure you'd see this card at the National. But it's very worthy. And I voted for it.
Now, the 33-gouty Jimmy Fox, he's not in the Hall of Fame either. No representation. And I was thinking of the catcher pose. I was thinking of that, but I thought this might have been a bit more popular. Thoughts on this?
I agree with you on the pose. I did not vote for it. And same thing with Dizzy Dean. The gorgeous card. That's the pose. I'm already doing the Ruths and the Gehrigs. And
gotcha.
You guys voted for Hank Greenberg. He needs to be in there. And I think this is the card.
And it's a beautiful card. And here's a first-year card on the ballot. 41 play ball, Ted Williams.
It's certainly the best looking of the three play ball Williams.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to have the 39 play ball rookie card. And I would stop there. For me, I'm not going to put two from the same card company.
Right. Okay. 15th card, 49 Bowman, first year on the ballot, Satchel Paige.
This was very close to being on my ballot. Is the Leaf Paige in?
Yeah. The Leaf Paige is in, and so is at 53 tops.
Okay. Well, then that would bump this one out then. But this is still a great card, and it's tougher. In fact, I'd pick this over the 53 tops.
Next up.
And I voted for the Roy Campanella. In 49.
Ah.
I'm trying to do my part to get Roy back under consideration, Ray. I mean, it's a rookie card of a Hall of Famer whose career was cut short. Now, it's a low number, so it's not as tough as the page. If I picked up a stack of 49 Bowmans, this is one of the cards I'd definitely be looking for. So maybe that's the main card I'd be looking for in the low numbers.
This is just too big of a card.
I voted for it.
Okay. First year on the ballot, his rookie card, the 49 Leaf Warren Spahn.
It's a great card, but I don't love it. It's an easier card. The pose, I remember as a kid, he always looked old. And he pitched forever. He pitched for 25 years or something.
Yeah. Right?
So this doesn't quite break into the top 10 for me.
Gotcha.
And it's still a great card.
Number 18, we talked about this last year, the 1950 Tolateros Josh Gibson card.
If you go back into the 1990s, this card, I don't know that it wasn't known, but it wasn't pursued. All these non-US kinds of cards were not looked at as not illegitimate, but just not as good. And so I'm wondering if enough people are going to vote for this, even though it's a tough card. I did not vote for it. I think it's in the next group of almosts. I think it's presumptuous for me as a white guy to say there's no Jackie Robinson without Josh Gibson. That's not true. But Josh Gibson was the Babe Ruth of Negro League baseball.
Without a doubt, yeah. And that's why I was trying to find something close to his playing day.
That's a good thought, Ray. We'll see if the people accept
it. Yeah, number 19 is the 53 Bowman Mickey Mantle. Mantle has four cards in there. I had created a rule a few years ago to put it at five cards for any particular player. So if this card gets in for Mantle, it's his fifth card.
I didn't vote for it. Two reasons. Number one, I appreciate your five rule. I'm not sure I would be that generous, but if you're going to break the rule for anybody, it'd be Mantle. However,
of course.
I don't think you have the Stallmeyer Mantle in there, which is a really beautiful hot dog card. And there's
that's awesome
53,
card.
54, 55 for the same vintage. I don't know if people can vote for it. If it's too rare to aspire for it.
Yeah,
you know, that's
a great card. The Stallmeyers, you're right. Absolutely.
The big deal in the mid-70s when I was I was more of a collector in those days. I'll tell you what, these Stallmeyers and the regionals and hot dog cards were only 20 years old then, but they would have traded you 153 Bowman Mantles for one Stallmeyer Mantle. And their rarity is probably 100-1 too, but the value is not 100-1.
Those regional cards of Mantle, like the Red Heart, the Dandy, the Bazooka, they're beautiful cards. I like them all.
But the Stallmeyer is an order of magnitude tougher than any of those.
The 20th card, first time on the ballot, 52 tops, Andy Pafka. Of course, we all know why. This is on there, card number one.
If you have a Hall of Fame that allows for a lot of explanation, people are walking through the halls of the Baseball Card Hall of Fame, and they, what's Andy Pafka doing there? You'd have to have some explanation. This amazing condition-sensitive card in the iconic set that really began the modern golden age of card collecting.
Sure.
And so I don't know that there's enough explanation. So I didn't vote for it. What should go in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame is an Andy Pafko 9. It's not rare in 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6. But you hit 7, 8, 9, those are worthy of being in the Hall of Fame. But I didn't vote for it because, like I said, that requires too much explanation.
Next up, 54, Wilson Franks, Ted Williams.
I think I voted for this before. I think it's one of the most beautiful cards. The use of a dramatic dropout white background always caught my eye. I'm voting for it. What screams hot dog cards and regionals than Ted Williams with a floating package of hot dogs? So it's surreal. It's ahead of its time.
Okay. Next up, 57 tops rookie card, Brooks Robinson.
Sentimentally, I would vote for him, but I didn't vote for him.
Card number 23, rookie card, not a Hall of Famer, but still very popular card of 58 tops, Roger Maris.
I would vote for him to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I'm not voting for him to be in. If he were pictured not on the A's and not on the Indians and not on the Cardinals, but on the Yankees, that might put this card over the top, but I'm not going to vote for it.
Next up, number 24. On the same lines of thinking with the Tola Terrace, Josh Gibson, I was looking for a player that never played in the majors, and 1959 Menko Doyoshu Sadahara. Beautiful card, actually. Really nice.
I think people aren't going to vote for it, right? It suggests, like what you were saying, if you did a book, you could do the book of the 101 players that were voted in, and then you could do some editorial remarks of the cards that were considered and didn't get enough votes, even though they're fabulous cards. This would be an example. I don't think this will ever be voted in.
Right.
Shohei has a better chance.
Yeah, you're right.
Ichiro will eventually get in, but...
Ichiro too.
But Sadahara Oh, yeah, Shohei will get in before... So I don't think Ohtani's going to have 800 home runs.
Next up, first year on the ballot, 65 tops, Steve Carlton, rookie.
Along with the mantle, that's the card in the 65 set. That was a tougher card for me to get. I have it. He's a definite Hall of Fame pitcher in his prime. He carried the team. You're right, from Philly.
Absolutely.
He won more games than the rest of his team, I think.
Oh, in 1972. In 27 games, he won with a team that won 59.
Yeah, and I think that's his best card. So, again, that, it checks those boxes.
Next up, 67 tops Tom Seaver rookie card.
Let's group that one with the next one. The 67, it's got Bill Dennehy taking up half the real estate, but... The next card with the rookie trophy is absolutely aesthetically better. But still, if I had to choose, I didn't pick either one of them. I think they split the votes. We'll see what they do for your voters there. But if in doubt, I would pick the rookie. Just it's a high number. It was always tough for me. And the 68 was not a hard card. Actually, the 69 Seaver is a nice looking card too.
Okay. I have a feeling this next one.
If it's ever been on there, I voted for it. I have
a card. I can't believe this isn't in yet.
I got this card from George Lyons, a voice from the past. He was such a great guy and one of the pioneers and one of the first guys that really worked before the internet. He had his own internet. He had his own web of people that he worked with. And he would find out what I wanted, and then he would find out what I had, and whether it was a two-way trade, three-way, four-way trade. So he found out I wanted this card, got it for me, and extracted probably a good price back in the day, which now would seem cheap. But it's a prized card in my collection.
Yes.
Yes.
First year on the ballot, 75 tops, Robin Yount, rookie.
I'd vote for Brett. I think
he's in already.
Brett, I know, but and Brett and Yount are the two that you think of, but I just think they used to be about equal, and I think Brett has surpassed
it. Definitely surpassed it.
And so I think he's worthy. And if there are 200 cards, I think he'd be in there. But frankly, I'm not sure he's going to be in the top 100, Ray. But that's...
I think you're right. Yeah.
One man, one vote.
This is a returning, the 1980 Charlotte O's orange card of Cal Ripken. Interesting card.
It's too difficult. If I told somebody I have a really comprehensive minor league collection, this would be the number one card they'd be asking if I had. And when I tell them, no, I have the blue version, they would think, that's great too, but not nearly as great. That's the orange. Terrific card. The orange and the blue were distributed differently. So okay. I'd love to have this card. I don't have the card. I did vote for it. I can't say it put minor league cards on the map, but if you think of minor league cards, I don't know what would be better than this to have. And I don't have it. And I have almost every other minor league card because I was very aggressively collecting minor league cards. Yep.
83 Opeachy Tony Gwynn.
That is somewhat gratuitous. Appeal to our wonderful friends north of the border.
Up north.
It wouldn't be a bad choice. Again, if you had a Hall of Fame that had narratives, you're walking through the Baseball Card Hall of Fame and you put on the headphones, when you got to this card, it would talk about the role of Opeachy, and Tony Gwynn's deserving for sure. But I didn't vote for it.
Next up, 84 Fleer Update Roger Clemens rookie.
I'm not going to vote for it because I think it's one of his best cards, but he has so fallen out of favor with collectors and Major League Baseball. If he got in the Hall of Fame, there'd be a lot of interest in this card, and it's difficult. But if he and Bonds get in, then this would be in particular a card that Clemens people, maybe they've already gotten him, But right. if somebody was going after it, it'd be challenging.
Agree.
Clemens, in that card, he looks innocent because he's 20 years old or 21.
86 tops traded Tiffany, Barry Bonds.
Right? Same story. Barry Bonds was innocent in this picture because he could hit and he hit with power and he had great speed. Yeah. Right. I didn't vote for him, but this might be maybe his best card, the Tiffany.
Yeah.
Those are not hard to get, the base set. But right. the Tiffany's, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't have that. I have plenty of the base and he's got all these different XRCs and RCs. This Tiffany just looks sharp. Right. Tiffany's were crisp.
87 Donruss, Greg Maddux rookie.
I like this card, maybe just to have an 87 Donruss in the Baseball Card Hall of Fame. That was a nice looking set. It's fallen out of favor because it was right when production levels were going up, but the black borders, I didn't vote for it, but I thought that's worth considering.
Interesting card, yeah.
He wasn't the best thrower. He wasn't the best strikeout guy, but he might have been the best pitcher and the best pitcher in our viewing in his
Yeah,
I can't even say in his prime because he lasted so long. He was able to pitch beyond his prime.
Yeah, he was definitely a great pitcher.
He was a pro.
Yeah.
For that, he gets no respect because he had to strike out 300 batters every year.
He was a ground ball pitcher, that's exactly. for sure. Yeah. Comic set, I think, the 1990 Lee Frank Thomas rookie.
Yeah, I just think the no name on front uses up all the air.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
The other problem is this card is way not as hot as it was back in the day.
Yeah.
In 90, 91, 92, around in there, that was just a fabulous card. The 91 and 92 Leaf cards were just so overproduced, and 90 Leaf were not. So that's a great card, but I didn't vote for it.
The 1990 Upper Deck autograph Reggie Jackson card, what got the craze started for cards being autographed. It's the first big time chase card. I love this card. I really like this card.
Saying exactly what I'm thinking. I did vote for the card because of the historical significance of this card, as you said. It charted a new path for cards where the chase card, the personally autographed card, the numbered card, Upper Deck was innovative, and Reggie was larger than life. He was a huge personality, and he backed it up. So I did vote for this card. And I may have had it at one point, but I don't have it now.
The 1991 Topps Desert Shield, not the regular Topps, the Desert Shield Chipper Jones rookie. That whole set was pretty cool.
Same thing, right? If there's a physical Hall of Fame ever or virtual tour, this would be a card that I don't think will be elected in because it's too obscure and it's too similar, but it's worthy of a stop and remember what Topps did, actually, which was a cool thing. And the fact that a bunch of them got back into circulation mysteriously back stateside, it's like a footnote, though, Ray. Not the whole story, but the footnote that baseball cards were so popular then that it was cheering up the servicemen during that situation.
Right.
And Chipper's the guy
for
that set.
So, absolutely.
So I'd like to see it editorialized, but it didn't make my top 10. It's just too obscure. But I will say this, when I look in the dollar boxes, I have found Desert Shield cards, but I haven't found any chippers. That's the thing. But even a common is a good card.
1991 Upper Deck Michael Jordan.
It just depends. This is the Baseball Card Hall of Fame. This is a very popular novelty. And like I say, to be able to say, here's some cards that didn't make the grade, but they have a story worth telling in the history of baseball cards. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. That Michael Jordan was so hot and he had this flirtation with baseball and Upper Deck picked up on it. And here it is. And it's a really good card.
Next up, 1992 Bowman Mariano Rivera rookie card.
This was a near miss. I think the fact that when you look back retrospectively now, what is that, 32 years? The shutdown reliever that he became, it's hard to imagine looking at this 14-year-old kid. In 92 Bowman, he just looks like he couldn't get the ball to the plate, much less striking him. That's why his ball dipped so much. But it broke the rules. And I think Victor, the rookie card, quote-unquote rules, he's not in a major league uniform. Somehow his ensemble is color-coordinated to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, whatever it is. He's just staged in a way that's interesting. So I almost voted for it because it says, hey, kids, these guys are players. They're people, too. And the fact that I think this is a rookie card, in spite of being in street clothes, this was the year that Bowman got a little bit tougher after they came back and they were too easy in the beginning. Tightened up in 92, I guess it's the best card in the set. So I have it almost in my top 10.
Last card on the ballot, 2001 Topps Chrome traded Ichiro Suzuki and Albert Pujols. I just like this card because it's got two players. Both these guys are going to go to the Hall of Fame. And the only card I know out there that has multiple rookies is the Trammell and Molitor, unless I'm missing something else.
I want this card to eventually get in. It's not the most beautiful card, and it's not what put Chrome on the map. Topps Chrome was a premium brand from the get-go, all the Chrome stuff. But pretty amazing. Like you said, double rookie card. It's the footnoting of these cards that I'm seeing.
Right.
And you present your 40 to pick from, but when people pick, they don't know the backstory. That's one of the reasons why you on your channel and inviting me to amplify, you could write a page about each of these cards.
Right.
But you could write a book.
Okay.
I was disappointed I couldn't vote for this.
I love this card. This is on my list to buy this year. As before this year's over, I'm hoping to get this card because next year Ichiro's on the Hall of Fame ballot. So could get a little bit of a bump there. I love going through these ballots every year. I don't vote for it, but it definitely is a good barroom discussion. I like to say friendly barroom discussion.
You always hear that the customer's always right.
Yeah.
Which really isn't true. What you're pointing out is the customers are always right. In other words, if you're a dealer and you have one customer that comes in and says, hey, you're doing this all wrong, or why aren't you doing this? That's one person. You say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. If 100 customers come up and say, hey, you're doing it wrong, then so the customers, plural, you need to listen to them. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're listening to the customers, plural, and they're speaking loudly that what they want in their Baseball Card Hall of Fame. You're doing all the heavy lifting, but you need them to vote, and they are. Let me ask you an over-under. If I were to tell you that 50% of the collectors out there have more than one email address.
I would say probably over.
I think it's over.
Yeah.
So can they vote one per
email? I didn't hear that.
I know, but it's hard to police it.
I just do basically like an honor system. But
so, it's hard to cheat to any great degree. I just think the people speak. I'm just saying, if somebody's really passionate, it's like a primary election. The turnout's not going to be that great. And so if you really go door to door, if they were to really tell their friends, vote for Campy. But the problem is they're going to say, but you have to vote for Campy. That means you got to bump somebody else out.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
And that's what
makes it hard.
The more intriguing this thing, because you're like, man, I think this guy's going to do pretty well. So let me give this. I don't want this to get bumped off. That's how they approach it with the Veterans Committee and the actual Hall of Fame and the BBWA. That's why people don't understand why they don't get 100%. It's because they know that this guy's going to get in. He's going to get well over 90%. They don't want to see this guy get bumped off. So they're putting their vote toward him. So it works hand in hand like that. But it's so much fun, though. I love it.
You're doing a great job, Race. I don't want to plant the seed of distrust or...
You do what you got to do.
I'm sure there's a few people that are doing that, but there's a spirit of fair play that I think people gripe about the hobby, but most of the people I interact with are pretty honest, hardworking, straight shooters. You don't last in this hobby if you're jerking people around. So personal integrity,
it's everything. Yeah, it's word of mouth. The voting ends May 13th. And I will have the induction video on Wednesday, May 15th.